Welcome to Look to the Moon podcast, bringing together two friends with stories that need sharing. Join us, Jodie and Nicole, as we navigate life after loss, discussing topics around birth, trauma, and baby loss, and providing a safe space for others to share their stories. Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 11 of Look to the Moon podcast. I'm here with Nicole.
Hello.
We've not recorded for a couple of weeks.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
But then we have enough to speak about then, I suppose.
Yeah, well, that's true. We always have enough to talk about though, don't we?
Yeah, we just trash
it. We just said before we started recording, oh, hang on, hold it, we should be recording this.
Yeah, well, we got carried away.
Chatting away.
What we're going to speak about, a bit of a life update. So, because episode 10 was Robin and Freya's story, where we interviewed Robin. And she, you know, went into quite a lot of detail about the loss of her daughter.
Yeah.
And what we are trying to do is mix our interview episodes with our sort of catch-up episodes, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're trying to alternate where possible, because we've got another interview coming up, which is really exciting, for episode 12, which we'll go into in a little bit more detail. But this is just a bit of a life update and sort of following on from the last episode.
Yeah.
Which we just spoken about, where you went for a debrief at
yes.
the hospital.
Yeah.
So give everyone a bit of an update.
Yeah, so we had the debrief, didn't we, at the local hospital. Mm. And the topic of the story was BMI, wasn't it? About BMI being a load of bollocks.
Yeah, and how, you know, you were obviously discussing your experience and your story with that hospital as a bit of a debrief, and it expanded into, if we ever do decide to have more children, what can we do differently, or what can we look out for, what can we monitor for, and that was the conversation that spanned into
BMI.
BMI.
Because the consultant ended our meeting with a sentence where she was like, oh, there's one more thing. You wait. Well, I was like, thanks. Thanks for that, yeah. One
you
way to cheer me up.
So
I am overweight. I have been overweight for a long time. Been overweight for both my pregnancies, and obviously with Lila, it was
according
fine.
According to BMI, most people are, to be fair.
Well, yeah. Oh, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
As we previously stated. So that basically gave me the kick up the arse that I needed, really, and thought, well, not that we have made the decision to have another baby, but if we were to make the decision to have another baby, to be in the best position for it. So, like, mental health, fitness, health, everything.
Yeah.
So I decided to do something about it and lose some weight.
And
so,
you've only been doing it a few weeks.
So yeah, so 5 weeks now. So I started, like everyone does, at the beginning of January.
Yeah.
Get Christmas out of the way. And then, New Year and all that. Bollocks.
Yep.
So I joined Slimming World, which I've never done before. Mm-hmm. I've normally just always done like these fad diets where you try and do it yourself and never works. I do it for 2 weeks and I'm like, oh, give up.
Yeah.
But Slimming World, I was like, no, like, I need someone to tell me what to do, and like, it makes me go to the group every week, which is really good.
Yeah.
And it's worked. I was quite shocked, actually. They were all laughing at me the second week when I stood on the scales. I lost £8 in the first week, and I was like, bloody hell, it does work.
It does work.
So now I'm 1 stone, £3 down in 5 weeks.
It's amazing.
So I've dropped 2.5 off my BMI already.
Nice.
So shove that up, you Jaxie.
I can smoke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hopefully, soon I'll be, and it's not just about like future pregnancies, it's about me and my health
and
well being. Yeah, definitely.
The confidence you have. And
yeah.
I think when you feel good about yourself, your mental health.
Definitely, yeah, improves.
It improves.
Yeah.
It does.
Massively, yeah. And just being able to enjoy Lila as well,
because
like, she's at that age where she's just non-stop
non-stop
chase around the park, mummy, play hide and seek, and I'm like, oh, knackered. Just want to better myself for me and for my family, and if we ever went
future proof as well.
Yeah, exactly. So that's me. What about you? Have you got anything?
Well, I think we touched on it in a previous episode that, you know, I was having a few health issues, and this ties in with what you just said, basically.
Yeah.
Because it was just over a year ago, so it was a year in October,
my daughter was about 8 months old and I was probably the heaviest weight I've ever been.
Yeah.
So during my pregnancy, I had gestational diabetes and I was diagnosed very, very early on, about 16 weeks pregnant. For reference, if anybody doesn't know, usually that glucose tolerance test is conducted at 28 weeks. This is when I was pregnant.
Yeah.
And it changes so quickly. But when I was pregnant, if you had a high BMI, which was a risk factor, which for me, I've always been in the overweight or obese category.
Because same.
The parameters are so crazy. But always been overweight. I've never been obese. But on the BMI scale, I'm classed as obese. So that was already booked in for my 28-week gestation to do that glucose tolerance test. But they found glucose in my urine at like 15 weeks. I had the test at 16 weeks and I was diagnosed with gestational diabetes. So I managed that through my pregnancy really, really strictly. I got about 8 weeks in, so I was at about 24 weeks pregnant when my diet alone was no longer controlling my blood sugars and they started to creep up. So I ended up on metformin, which basically helps your body produce the insulin you need to regulate your blood sugars. All the while thinking this is temporary, which it was.
Yeah, you did really well, actually.
Yeah, so I'd actually... from my booking weight, as they call it, to till basically when just before I gave birth, I only put on about 3 kilos.
Yeah.
Which is just over 6 pounds.
Yeah.
About 7 pounds, so half a stone. And that was in the last 3 weeks of pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So up until that point, I actually lost weight during my pregnancy. And then, so I put 3 kilos on, but my daughter was nearly 4 kilos when she was born. So I dropped quite a significant amount of weight. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much like 10 days after she was born. But then with everything that happened, and then, you know, events following that, you know, I was really struggling during my maternity leave. So I was comfort eating, as most people do. And like I say, 8 months after she was born, I was probably at my heaviest weight. But during the summer, so about 12 weeks after I'd given birth, they sent me for a blood test, which is going to become a part of my life routine now because I've had gestational diabetes. They send you back for a yearly check on your blood sugars. And my blood sugars came back normal.
Mm-hmm.
So not even in the pre-diabetic range. They were in the normal range this point 18 months ago. So I got called back in November or October, November, just gone in 2024 for my routine blood test. And in that period of time between the October before and the blood test that was taking place, I'd lost about 20 kilos. So I'd lost about 3 stone. And I'm actually the lightest weight I've been in about 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
So I was feeling good about myself. I was exercising, you know, I was looking after myself. Went for this routine blood test, didn't think anything of it, and it came back off the charts.
Mm.
Like, not even elevated, it was off the charts. Like, if I was a 6'9", 300-pound man, like, it wouldn't even be on that scale. So, and I don't really know much about why that is, because I would say my diet slipped a little bit, but not enough to warrant that kind of reading.
Yeah.
And I'm not well versed in how things can affect your blood sugars, but I had the test done probably at my lowest mental point, I would say.
Yeah.
I was really struggling with work, you know, I had a lot of home stress. I wasn't sleeping, so whether that's impacted the reading, I don't know, but they've officially diagnosed me with type 2 diabetes.
Yeah.
Which, if you look at the statistics, 50% of women that have gestational diabetes in their pregnancy will go on to have type 2 diabetes within 10 years.
Yeah.
Which is shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Literally 1 in 2. And I've developed it within 18 months, 2 years of having
Yeah.
My daughter. So that's been, I remember when I first got diagnosed, it was about 4 months ago now, I was just embarrassed. Yeah. Like, I feel like it's embarrassing because it's, when you say type, and people ask me, like, the people I've told have said, oh, what type? And I'm like, well, it's type 2.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that saying that sort of embarrasses me, because I'm thinking type 2 is the one where it's all about lifestyle. And it's not just
that, though.
Well, what else influences it?
No, I don't think, like, obviously, type 1 diabetes is your insulin and normally the one that you're diagnosed quite early on in life.
Yeah, it's more like, so either something you're born with or you develop quite early.
Yeah, but like you've just said, women with gestational diabetes then go on to develop type 2 diabetes. So, yeah, don't, like, and you'd lost so much weight that, like you say, just after you'd had Bonnie and you were at the heaviest, your blood sugars were fine.
Yeah.
So if it was to do with just weight, you would expect it to have come back then.
Yeah, yeah.
But it didn't. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And don't beat yourself up about it. Like, no. Well, you told me straight away.
I told you straight away, yes.
This is actually,
this is old news for now.
Yeah, it's old news for me. Boring. No, I'm joking.
No, but I'm at a stage now where, when I was first diagnosed, I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, I'm not embarrassed by it anymore.
No, absolutely not.
Because I did lose a lot of weight, and then my diet started to slip, and then I was continually losing weight.
Yeah.
So it was like the most recent weight loss wasn't warranted.
Yeah.
So, which, it's a bit bizarre. It works a little bit backwards, because you think, oh, type 2 diabetic, it's going to be somebody that's, you know, obese, that eats rubbish, that doesn't exercise, all of that. And, you know, I'm, you know, exercising 2 or 3 times a week, you know, sort of quite intense exercise. You know, my diet was on point. I'd lost about 3 stone in weight.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, but the weight's still falling off. And when I've done the research into it, it's because your body can't process that sugar that you're putting into your body, that glucose, or the carbohydrates that you're putting into your body that turn to glucose. It actually attacks the fat and the muscle in your body.
Yeah.
And I was having symptoms, which, until I was diagnosed, I never, ever would have thought.
Yeah.
The one that there were symptoms, a lot of it I put down to post-pregnancy. So, like, I was getting up in the night for a wee, which is, I'm like a camel, usually. Like, I never used to get up in the middle of the night. Maybe when I was pregnant, but before pre-pregnancy, never got up in the night. And I was finding that I was waking up in pain because I needed to go to the toilet. So, I just thought, oh, my bladder's got a bit weaker. You know, I had kidney problems when I had my daughter. So I thought, that's what I wrote it down to. The weight loss, I thought, well, you know, I've already lost a lot of weight. And, you know, my body's
had a lot of stress at the time.
So that's what I put that down to. But I also, maybe TMI on this podcast, but we're talking, it's mostly women that listen to this. But, like, I was suffering with thrush. And never suffered with thrush before, and a symptom of diabetes is that you can't get rid of sort of skin infections.
Yeah.
So I was getting it reoccurring, and it kept coming back. I was like, I'm treating it, it's going, and then it's coming back.
Yeah.
That's a side effect, apparently.
Well, there you go.
Thrush is a side effect, but also reoccurring infections are a side effect. Thirst was never really...
I've always said you've always drank loads.
I drink constantly, so that's not a new symptom. But, you know, she was like, are you feeling, like the nurse was saying, are you feeling overly tired? And I was like, well, I've got a toddler.
Yeah.
And I'm stressed.
That's just life, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just life. So I was putting it down to post-pregnancy symptoms and life, basically. And as soon as I got that diagnosis, you know, I got made sure my diet was in check, and then they've started medicating me as well, which, again, I was reluctant to, but I thought, you know what, my nurse was saying, look, it's about getting your blood sugars down as quickly as possible, because that'll benefit you in the long run. And you can go into remission mm-hmm. with it. You know, if you get your blood sugars under control, they wean you off your medication and then keep retesting your blood sugars every 3 months. So I'm now at a point where I'm due for my first blood test post-diagnosis.
Yeah.
To see
where
what the medication's done, what my diet's done, etc., mm-hmm. etc. So that's been quite hard to deal with. And like I say, it's played a part in my mental health struggles, and it's just another reminder, really, of, you know, the things we suffered with in pregnancy, yeah. and then it's sort of ongoing. But I think it was important for me to talk about, because it the most likely reason for me having type 2 diabetes is yeah. because of the gestational, so, and that plays into
yeah.
this podcast and the things that we discuss. So it was probably important that I speak about it.
Yeah, definitely. You know,
and there's probably a lot of women out there.
I was just going to say, maybe other people that are listening as well. Hopefully, not hopefully, obviously, I don't want to wish gestational diabetes on anyone or type 2 diabetes, but I bet you there is other women out there that have had gestational diabetes and then have gone on then to develop it. So it'd be interesting to hear from anyone if they have suffered, or even if you're post baby and you're thinking, oh, hang on a minute, I'm having these symptoms. Like, maybe it's worth getting checked out, just like Jodie says, because it is one in two.
Yeah, it's important as well. Like, you know, talking about something else in terms of women's health, I've just been called back for my smear.
Yeah.
Because I was on a yearly smear, and then, because I had an abnormal smear, so they were monitoring me every year. It came back clear, so they put me on a 3 years. And I remember the last time I had a smear was just before I had my miscarriage.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to my husband at the time, I said, because if it had come back not clear, I'd have to go to the hospital for further investigation.
Yeah.
And I had my smear, had my miscarriage, and then I was waiting for the results.
Mm.
And I remember saying to my husband, I'm not going. If it comes back abnormal, I'm not going.
Yeah, because you don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
No.
I didn't want anyone messing with me, you know, and I just thought, you know, and I look back now, and, you know, it's not pleasant going for smears, it's not pleasant going for these tests.
Yeah.
But it is really important, because if I'd have ignored that blood test, I'd be none the wiser.
Yeah.
And if I'd have refused to go, or I just thought, you know, it'll come back normal, because I didn't even realise until I saw the doctor ringing me, and I'd only had the blood test like less than 48 hours before.
Yeah.
And I thought, this isn't good, because I'm getting a phone call.
Yeah.
Because when you get a phone call,
you always notice something on there if they ring you.
Well, they say we won't ring you if there's nothing
unless,
wrong.
Yeah.
So, you know, and like I say, I would have been none the wiser if I hadn't have gone. And I've done, like I say, I've just had the letter for my cervical screening, which I've not had for 3 years, which seems frightening how quick that time has gone.
Yeah.
So I've just booked in for that, and I'm really not looking forward to that.
No.
But I'm like, you know, it's got to be done.
It's got to be done. I can push a baby out there, but you didn't. But
I didn't. No.
Anyway,
it's all intact.
Yeah, yeah. You've had other things up there.
Some more pleasant than others.
Yeah, well, yeah, you could say that. Exactly. That's what I always think. Like, I think because it's like a foreign object that it makes us panic.
Yeah.
Like,
I've not had a smear since I've had the baby, and I'm thinking, oh my god, I lost all dignity.
Oh yeah.
You know, like,
every bloody man and his dog up there when you're pregnant or in labour. Crikey.
Well, like I said to my husband the other day, he said to me, he said, please don't say that. Please stop reminding me of it. But I literally, because Bonnie got stuck during my C-section.
No, I know what you're going to say.
My midwife fisted me.
Yeah.
She literally put, I bet she was elbow deep up my vagina.
Well, she's probably coming out the bloody C-section scar. Waving.
Waving at the other end. And I remember thinking, I've had literally someone's like hand, wrist, and probably most of a forearm up there. I need to remember that going for
a speculum is not going to be
that bad.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
The baby didn't come out, but I got the midwife's arm.
Well, there you go. Perfect.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say so.
Yeah. And it's like you say, it's important, like, big on everybody getting their smears done. What did you have? An abnormal smear, which is why you got put on a year.
HPV.
HPV,
which is hilarious because I had the HPV injection.
Yeah, same, and I've had that as well.
Like, this is it, like three injections that you have?
I don't know. It's when you're in school, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Is it when you're in school?
Well, I don't know. I can't remember, but it didn't work, obviously.
No,
me
either.
HPV. Because it's like they say, it's transient again, yeah, with most things, that it comes in and out.
I nearly killed Richard when it came back, said I'd got HPV. I was like, you what? What's he give me?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not classed as a sexually transmitted disease, but it's transmitted sexually, which is very confusing.
It's a bit backwards, really, isn't it?
But yeah, so I was like, well, this is a bit weird.
Yeah.
But it says it can lie dormant in your system for years and years and years. And, you know, I had HPV positive smear. Then they said, look, you'll just go on a yearly one, and even if it comes back next time, it's when you have your third consecutive smear with HPV that they would send you for a further investigation. So I'd had a second smear that was HPV positive, 2 years of running.
Yeah.
So when I had my third smear, that was when I had my miscarriage. So I knew if it had come back with HPV again, it would send me to the hospital. And I thought, well, if it comes back, I ain't going, like I said before, because of the mindset that I was in.
Yeah.
And I thought, I've already had people up there. And I was like, I'm not having it again straight after my miscarriage. Luckily, I think I got the results of my smear test the week that I was miscarrying.
Yeah.
So I remember being overwhelmed with relief, which sounds weird when you're going for a miscarriage, but I was relieved that it had come back clear, and it was just something that I didn't have to worry about again for another 3 years. So women's health, it's so important. I do feel like we get a far worse ride than the men in our lives.
You know,
we get poked and prodded, and like, I've had my baby, but I've ended up with group B strep. I've had HPV in the past.
Yeah.
The gestational diabetes. That's type 2 diabetes.
What else are you going to throw at me?
I think I need more fingers to count on all the repercussions from having a baby. But that's where I'm up to.
Oh, well. Hopefully. And you're in a better mindset now with your type 2 diabetes.
Yes.
Yeah, good. Because I know, like I said before, like you told me straight away, and I know how much you were struggling with it. And
watch this space.
Yeah,
because to give people,
I reckon when you get your bloods back, it's going to be like
normal. Yeah. Well, I hope so, or at least a lot lower. Because to give people some reference, when you have a HbA1c, below 40 is normal.
Yeah,
anything I think below 47 is, so between 41 and 46, or 47. Is pre-diabetic.
Okay.
So you're in the danger zone. Anything above 47 or 48, whatever the range is diabetic.
Yeah.
Mine came back, so my previous test came back at 38, which is within normal range, completely normal. This year it came back at 122.
Yeah, I just don't believe them, Jodie.
Well, it's even the nurse was like, we don't understand, because you're 32 years old, you've lost some weight recently, you're active.
Yeah.
You know, my diet alone was just not, it doesn't warrant a reading of that level. But regardless of what the reading was, they're like, we have to diagnose you. So the only silver lining of it is,
could they not have retested you? Through prescriptions.
Well, I said, could it not be an anomaly reading? She said, well, there's no point retesting you within the 3 months, because it's all about your blood cells and how they regenerate, and you know, the sugars around those cells and all of
but
this.
But I don't know if I've told you before, obviously my background in A&E.
Yeah, of course.
So we used to get different, because it's different blood result, but we used to get so many people coming into A&E that the GP sent in, like, emergency before your heart stops, where they've had blood tests by the GP. But obviously, when you have your blood taken at the GP, they don't go straight to the lab. they have to sit there.
The phlebotomist at the hospital at the Warmore.
Yeah, but they're not tested there. They're sent to the lab at the. So they're not tested in the War Memorial or in your GP surgery or wherever you have them done. They're then sent over to the lab, which is usually based at one of the local hospitals. So when they sit there for a long time, because like they wait for a whole morning or a whole day, people's blood, and then they ship them off in one go, they sit there and they can like coagulate and settle, and it gives false readings.
Right.
So we always used to get loads of people coming in like, oh, my GP sent me in urgently, like with high potassiums or whatever, which is can be dangerous for your heart. And we used to do them in A&E. They get sent straight to the lab because it's within the same hospital, and they get tested within the hour, and they always came back normal.
Right.
And we're like, yeah, you can go home, it's fine. And they're like, oh my God, my doctor told me my heart's going to stop at any minute. Yeah. And we're like, yeah, don't worry.
Well, it'd be interesting.
It would be interesting, like, whether that has played a part in it.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I just thought, like, if it was high, you'd think it'd be just in the high range, but this was, like, off.
But then
off
they're saying it was off the chart.
Yeah, like, off the chart. Like, she gave me, I thought, you don't really need to give me a visual, but she gave me a visual. And she literally plotted out my last blood test. There was like three on there. So there was one that I had pre-pregnancy, one that I had post-pregnancy, and then the last one that I just had.
Yeah.
And it literally like jumped up a cliff. Like it was ridiculous. Like,
I mean, it's like the doubting themselves when they're saying, we don't understand it, you're 32.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the doubting themselves. But then when you say, well, can you redo it? They're like, no, sorry, you've got to believe it.
Yeah. Well, I suppose like, I get it. Like, you know, and they said, look, you know, this reading's come back, we'll treat it as it is. We'll retest you in 3 months because then that'll hopefully give us a trend. So if it comes back high again,
then
there's obviously...
All right, I believe you.
But then they've medicated me and they're saying, she was like, don't get hung up on the medication. She was like, like, it's this medication. And there is side effects to the medication, which I should mention, because if you do have it in... pregnancy, so I'm on exactly the same medication that I was when I was pregnant.
Yeah.
So this medication is safe to take during pregnancy, or as we know. But the higher the dose, the more side effects you get.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing with metformin is you've got to wean yourself on them.
Yeah.
Because they can make you feel sick and nauseous, they can affect your stomach. You know, with diarrhea and all of that. So it's really gastro related that it can affect you. And I think I've blocked it out of my memory because I can't remember how I was feeling on the metformin when I was pregnant. Because I think I was only on a slightly higher dose. I don't think I went on to the max dose because my struggles were being controlled with a lower dose.
Yeah.
But they've weaned me now up to the highest dose possible of the metformin now, and I was fine on. So you take 4 tablets a day on the highest dose, 2 in the morning with your breakfast, 2 in with your evening meal. When you're working yourself up, you take 1 and you take 2 and you take 3 and then you go up to 4. And I was fine on 2 tablets. I went up to 3 and then that's when I started feeling quite unwell. So again, during this period, I was diagnosed and then I was also feeling poorly.
Yeah.
So that wasn't helping. But they do say persevere, 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 and the symptoms get less and less. Mm. And I'm on the highest dose now, and oh my God, I felt poorly.
Yeah.
On the highest dose, you know, I just felt sick every minute of every day.
Mm.
You know, that underlying nausea. It was like I was pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, that early pregnancy when you get just the nausea all day long.
And yeah.
They call it morning sickness. But it has settled now, so I'm even feeling better on the medication, which is good.
Good. Well, fingers crossed for your blood test.
Well, I'll let you know what that number is.
Yeah, we'll be
all interested. Hopefully it's come down from 122. If it comes down to like 118, I'm not going to be that happy.
No. Let's aim for, you know, double figures.
I'm just aiming to be pre-diabetic at this point, rather than
aim between 41 and 46.
God, if it came down to like 50,
imagine if it's like imagine if they're like, oh, it's 20.
Can you imagine?
You'd be like, yeah, shit houses. Told you should have retested it.
Like,
you put you through going through all that sickness with your metformin.
Yeah. Well, even then though, they won't wean me off.
No.
I think they'll say drop your dose.
Yeah, then we'll have to do another
one.
And
then do another one.
To see if it goes
up and whatever. But hey, that's where we're at.
Oh, God. Well, at least you're feeling better.
Thank you. Watch this space.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Right. Shall we tell them then about our next interview?
Yes.
So we've got another lady lined up, but we're going overseas.
We're going.
Yeah. Where are we going?
Continental. International.
What's the name? I can't remember already.
Oh, yeah. It's because I've set it up. Nicole's just like...
I know. It's America. Yeah.
Yeah, it's America. No, we're interviewing a lady called Erin.
Yeah.
And she, if I've got the state right, she is based in northern Vermont.
Okay.
Which is on the east coast of America.
Oh, sounds so much nicer than here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Vermont's supposed to be beautiful.
Is it? Oh,
not lovely. That I know much about Vermont, but anyway. No, so we're actually going to log off this episode and jump on to our interview with Erin, who is dialing in all the way from the States, which is quite exciting.
That is exciting, yeah. Oh, yeah, so we won't give too much away,
no.
But... because you got that means you've got to listen. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, Erin from America.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
On episode 12.
12. That's mad, isn't it? 12.
It is. 12 episodes. I know. We're doing really well.
12 episodes of us chatting away.
Chatting
a load of shit. Yeah, right. Well, we'll keep this one short and sweet then, shall we? Because, we're running out of time.
But, as always, you know, you can DM us on Instagram at LookToTheMoonPodcast, or you can send us an email at hello@looktothemoonpodcast.com. You know, we're starting now to get listened to on Spotify and YouTube and Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts, we're there, hopefully. Yeah, so you can find us there, but we're also getting in touch with a wider spectrum of women that, you know, want to speak or, you know, want to share their stories or want to connect. So we are always here and we are always looking for people to talk to and connect with. So drop us an email, drop us an Instagram, and we will set something up.
Yeah. Right, we'll leave it for this one then. Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye.